Vous écoutez Scepticisme Scientifique, le balado de la science et de la raison, un podcast consacré à l'étude scientifique du paranormal, à la pensée critique et à la philosophie.
Okay, so as I said, my name is Goulvin Laruelle. I'm the vice president of the Comité Para, so this Belgium organization, which is one of the oldest skeptics association in the world, because we just celebrated our 75th anniversary this year. And I'm also a research associate of the FNRS at the Free University of Brussels. And so I work on topics related to climate change, basically. I'm a geochemist. And so that's why I thought that would be interesting to actually talk about the Anthropocene and do a gentle stroll through the Anthropocene with you. And in particular, what I wanted to talk about was something that you might have actually heard in the media earlier this year, that the Anthropocene had been rejected as a geological epoch by the geologists. And so maybe some news outlet picked up on that. Here is an example from the New York Times. But well, what I wanted to talk about is that what this actually means, actually. What did geologists say? Why? What does it imply? And first, I'd like to talk about what the Anthropocene actually is. So what is this concept? And the idea is to acknowledge the fact that human activities have been profoundly modifying the Earth as we know it, in terms of biodiversity, in terms of climate, in terms of land use, think deforestation, biogeochemical cycle, hydrology. And so it's a way to acknowledge that we live now in a time where the footprint of mankind is really visible on the Earth. And it's a pretty old concept, with the term anthropozoid that was coined by Lord Buffon over 250 years ago. But it's kind of flew under the radar for a long time, and it only started to be picked up again as Anthropocene in the 70s and early 80s, and it started to become popular in the early 2000s, basically. And then in recent years, you had like special issue of Nature dedicated to the human epoch. You have textbook in many different fields. You have news outlet that talk about it. And you have even some artistic community. Like, for instance, this cover is actually a photography book cover that also took this this word on board. And so the thing is that not everyone exactly puts the same meaning behind the term Anthropocene. So we all agree that, okay, that's a sign that human activities have impacted the Earth. But for instance, what does it mean from a geological standpoint? And is it worth making it a new age in the history of Earth? And that's what I want to talk about. And so that then we have to refer to a very special branch of geology, which is called stratigraphy. And it's basically a field, a subfield of geology that investigates the Earth's geological record to reconstruct and understand the history of Earth. And so that's a bit what you are seeing on this schematic. The idea is to look into sediment cores, look into rocks, and try to see based on their content, like I'm talking like obviously the fossils, but also the chemistry of the rocks, the isotropic signatures of the rock, when they belong to, and to sort of recreate what you are seeing here, which is sort of the history of the Earth with different layers. And so this is well and neatly organized, and this is what actually the global international chronostratigraphic chart looks like. And so you can see that there are several how you call that, hierarchical layers nested into one another. So you have eons, which are the largest ones. You have era, you have periods, epochs, ages. And so you can see that it's all well organized. And here we are living in the Holocene, and we've been living in the Holocene for about 12,000 years since the last, since the end of the last ice age. And the question basically is, should we make a new epoch and call it the Anthropocene? And what would that actually mean? And why didn't it happen? So the idea behind that has actually been some collective effort for about 15 years with, in 2008, the creation of an Anthropocene working group, which started to think about that and what would be the criteria, what would be the reference for this Anthropocene new epoch. And they started in 2015, 2016 to think about special events that not only had some global impact on the Earth, but that would also possibly leave a mark in the geological record, so in the sediment, and stay imprinted in the rock on longer time scale. And so there's been different dates proposed, and then in 2019 they narrowed down a selection of 10 sites somewhere on Earth with sediment cores that would be very representative of this global trend. And the idea is to define one that would be attributed one, what we call in geology, those golden spikes, which are basically some places where we say this is a reference for the boundary between this age and this other age. So if you stumble someday upon one of those golden spikes, well, you are staring at a very significant geological place. But anyway, about a year ago, one of the sites were actually selected, was selected as well as a starting year for the Anthropocene, and I will come back to that later, so 1952. And a proposal was submitted to the International Union of Geological Sciences, which earlier this year actually rejected this proposal to recognize the Anthropocene as a geological epoch. And so, well, what does that mean? Why did they do that? So first, let's have a look at the site. The site actually is a lake in Canada, so Lake Crawford. And so it was selected as very representative of a lot of modifications that are going on all over the Earth and that were actually visible in the sediments of the lake. And here you can see some sediment cores, and you can see visually that there's a very clear boundary, and you have really a change that actually corresponds to the red line on this graph. And so that's year 1952. And they studied in those sediments lots of different geochemical signals. So I won't get into all the details, but the content in organic matter, some isotopic signatures, the content and concentration of different type of phytoplankton, pollen, but also stuff like radioactivity, heavy metal concentration, and all those criteria that were very well captured in this lake and that are actually occurring worldwide. Now, the problem, that's something that I try to, well, that's a game that I'm actually playing with my student every year. In first year student, when we are talking about the Anthropocene, I ask them to take the role of expert in stratigraphy and to try to come up with criteria that they might use to define what would be the Anthropocene, what would be the beginning of the Anthropocene. It needs to be a characteristic of the human imprint. It should be global. When does it start? And is it likely to remain in the geological record? And so you could think of, for instance, greenhouse gas and climate. So here you have the concentration, the evolution of CO2 that you can see as some variability over the few past 100,000 years. But then you have this sharp increase. Well, that's us. You could think of in terms of biodiversity, which also makes sense because mass extinction events are often used as the boundary between different important periods of the history of Earth. So it is true that we are losing species at a staggering rate. So we are in entering a sixth or seventh large mass extinction event. So that could also be a good criterion, although it would be a little bit difficult to define when exactly it starts. We could think in terms of land use. So we can see that mankind activity definitely leave an imprint on land. So this is a bit anecdotic what you see on the picture, but if you think in terms of deforestation, modification of the coast, urbanization, that is actually very significant and worldwide. You could think in terms of plastic, obviously, there's going to be plastic found everywhere in lots of sediment. Now the question is, what happens to this plastic on long geological time scale? Well, this is still very difficult to anticipate. And well, there are other things you could think of, hydrology, whatever. But so one of the questions that arise, and that's what you can see on this graph, is that here the time scale is represented here, and so it's not linear. So you just have to be a bit careful. This is the last 100 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years. But here what's reported is basically some anthropogenic perturbation. And when they started, and when they reach their peak, so the brighter the color, the more intense the perturbation. And you can see that deforestation, for instance, started a while back ago. You can the effect on biodiversity, the effect of mankind on biodiversity has also been around for a while. The domestication of some animals, land use. So basically, what's shown there is that we are living not really a shift from a period to the other one, but the Anthropocene might be more seen right now as the change itself. So the question is, the Anthropocene might be more an event going on now than a new area. So what I mean is that the Anthropocene at geological time scales might be understood, best understood, as the boundary itself. And that's something you can see also on this graph if we are trying to go much back, much further back in time. So here the green line is a reconstruction of the past temperature of the past 65 million years in the past. So it's reconstructed from isotopic measurements. But basically, you can see that there's been a lot of variation in the climate of the Earth. And I want to draw your attention to this small spike here. It's called the PETM. That's Paleocene Eocene Thermal Maximum. And it's something that has been widely studied because that was a very sharp increase by about 4 degrees worldwide with a drastic change in climate in a period of the age, in a part of the Earth history that was already very warm to begin with. And so this spike is a boundary. This is actually not an epoch itself. It's a boundary between the Paleocene and the Eocene. But when you start looking at it with higher resolution, higher temporal resolution, this event lasted for 100,000 years. So in fact, maybe stratigraphy is not really the right tool to study something as brief as like those 70 past years, or maybe if you go back to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, 150 years in stratigraphic term, that's really, really short. So those basically are some of the main reasons why this idea of making the Anthropocene a new geological epoch has not been retained. And here, this I found this text published in Nature just like about 2 months ago. It was basically a response to the editors of Nature. So this is the entirety of the text. And it's basically stating what, I mean, I wouldn't call it the consensus in the earth science, because there's still not a consensus. There's still a debate going on. But maybe I can call it the barycenter of the opinions in earth science. So in average, people tend to convert to this point of view, which basically is to answer the question, are we in the Anthropocene? Yes. Well, yes, we definitely are. And we should acknowledge that and we should use this term. But the thing is that these changes, however big they are still fresh, they are still recent, they are still messy, and it's a little bit difficult to draw a line in the mud and say 1952, that would be the limit, or any year for that matter. However, the term Anthropocene is very useful by the scientific community and should keep being used. The question is that from a stratigraphic standpoint, maybe that was not necessarily the best move to try to make it a geological epoch. And it's worth being discussed. But I think this position is actually quite interesting because it both says that basically geologists were right to reject this proposal of making the Anthropocene a geological epoch, but that this term is actually still very useful. And I think from a skeptic's point of view, from an understanding of how science works, this is actually what we just saw unfold this year was actually a very interesting interesting event. And so basically, if this is sort of the take-home message, the Anthropocene, definitely it is a useful concept to acknowledge the effect human activities have on the Earth. And it should be used, it's here to stay, and it's not only being used in academia or not only used in natural science for that matter. Social and economic science are also, you know, using this concept. It has not been elected to become a geological epoch, but that was a debate related to the field of stratigraphy. In no way does it mean that geologists do not believe that the Anthropocene exists. And so that's what I'm saying, in the sense that this decision has nothing to do with the reality or the severity of the current environmental crisis. Of course, some climate skeptics try to sort of capitalize on this debate to present it totally unfair way and pretending that geologists said, no, the Anthropocene doesn't exist and man-made climate change is not real. Well, obviously, there's always some people who are doing that kind of disinformation. But to be fair, most of the mainstream media, in my opinion, did a pretty good job in reporting what happened if you pay the effort to actually go and read those media, which is a good thing. However, as far as I could judge, and maybe I have a French-speaking bias, and so feel free to correct me, but I had the feeling that this topic sort of flew under the radar of the skeptic community, which I think could have made, you know, make use of that to first explain why the climate skeptics who have been trying to tweak the reality of this news were wrong to do so. And also because I think it's a very interesting example of how science works and how new ideas are tossed around and tested and, you know, modified. And so that was kind of the point of this presentation. I'm very grateful that I had the chance to present this to you. And of course, I'll be happy to answer questions. But the main idea was to actually, you know, spark a debate. And I'm also very curious to have your opinion and what you think about what happened. Did you follow this debate? Did you find it interesting? Do you have, you know, that's what I'm very interested in. So again, thanks for your attention. And thanks for Jan for allowing me to join and make this debate.